Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Once again, nobody asked me to go Christmas caroling with them this year. Nobody. Once again, I never even heard about anybody going Christmas caroling. We must be all afraid of our neighbors, huh? You know what? I would even, if somebody asked me to go Christmas caroling and they had it all organized with people to go, I would even be the leader. I would, you know, go out there and pick the keys that were right for everybody, start the songs, and I know all the words. I could help them when they're struggling with the words. I would be a great Christmas caroling leader. Brian Beebe here, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, Wednesday, 5 o'clock p.m. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, on madisontalks.com. My podcast is brought to you once again by our good friends at Sorrento's at the Wilderness, a fabulous Italian restaurant where I play four nights a week and have for 11 plus years. And we're also brought to you by our buddies at Monk's Bar and Grill, six locations all over Wisconsin. I don't know, can you see my, can you see this in the shot, Mike? Oh, geez, I just blew my decorations down. Anyway, I just wanted to make it look like something was going on here that was
festive,
holiday-ish, you know. I bet you that's going to fall over and over again.
Yeah.
Anyway, got some tape. I'll just stick it on there.
Spit on it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, once again, we're trying to make something happen here on our podcast on Wednesdays. And I was going to have a guest tonight, but I kind of blew that this week. So that'll happen in the future with a great guy and his wife. They're musicians and interesting people. Anyway, we're going to be doing some Christmassy things here today. And I'd like to kind of play a trivia game. If you feel like calling in, it's 608-210-1667, and you can ask a question or answer a question or comment on something, and or maybe even request a Christmas carol. Either way, I've been trying to think about how I could do this, ask questions about popular Christmas things, whether it's a movie or a song, and then I'm just wait till somebody calls to answer the question.
Sure.
We could be here for one question the whole hour.
Let it ride.
Just let it ride until somebody answers. No, I'm gonna ask them, and give you a minute or two to answer, and then I'll give you the answer because it's fun to play along. Even if I was you and I was sitting at home and a guy was asking questions like I'm going to, I would try to answer them. And maybe if I could answer them too easily, I would get antsy and call in because I wanted to show how much I know, you know. So anyway, 210-1667, we're going to talk about a number of things. But how good are you at math?
Not real.
Not real. Well, I'll give you a second to answer this,
sure.
All of you. I had to go through it in my head, too. In the 12 days of Christmas,
uh-huh,
how many gifts would you actually have at the end of 12 days?
Gotta be thousands.
Well, you know, I could almost hear you thinking in here. I could hear your brain.
Those
going,
gears.
Yeah. thousands. What do you mean thousands? It can't be thousands.
You think so?
It's only 12 days, and the most gifts you ever got was 12 in the day, right?
Sure. Here's
how I figured it out. 12.
No, because at the end you get 12 drummers drumming.
Right. So that's only 12. There's 12 gifts, though. That's a gift of 12 things, isn't it?
Don't you receive all the other things, too?
Well, that would be thousands.
It's exponential.
Yeah, that would be thousands. But if you just went by the number, like
okay,
a number
just
of things.
Yeah, okay.
11, you know, 6 geese, you know, and like that. Then that's all you have is 6. You're not counting about the number of eggs or anything. 12, 11, plus the 1, knock the 1 off. That's 12 and 12, 24. Then 10, 34. 9, 43. Then 8, 51. Are you with me?
All those things just sound
51.
Like numbers to
yeah.
me.
Well, the answer is 78.
I know they mean
Check
something.
Check me out. 78. 78 gifts is what you'd have at the end of 12 days. I've seen these things where they talk about how much would those 12 gifts cost you in today's dollars, you know. 11 pipers piping, you know. 10, yeah.
Commission a drumline.
Yeah, that would be a little expensive.
Whole dairy farm, maids of milking.
Yeah. Get 8 maids of milking. But then you'd have to have some cows.
That's true.
If they were milking, yeah, you're right. That's more than 78. Anyway, Mike, if you know the answer to these, jump right in there. What big time company is responsible for the image of our modern Santa?
Mm. I'll just guess Macy's.
It first appeared in an ad for a product.
It'd be way back.
Yeah, no, it was the 20s or 30s.
Okay.
I mean, we had Santa before that, but the modern image of the jolly old rotund white beard and everything.
The not Saint Nick version.
Yeah. Gotcha. Stroking his beard. who do you think it was? Coca-Cola.
Oh.
And now they got the polar bears. But it was Coca-Cola at ads when you close your eyes and think of Santa, that image of appeared in a Coca-Cola ads early on. I want to try to play the 12 Days of Christmas for you a little later. And I have kind of thought about the numbers, and I have thought about the lyrics to the song. And, boy, it's hard. But it's nothing when you get, you know, 7 swans swimming, 6 geese a-laying, because you do those over and over again in the song. But it's hard when you get past 9 to know what that 10, 11, 12 is. So I had to work at it. Have you seen the Polar Express yet this year? That is an animated Christmas classic. It's going to be around for many, 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 many years. And it's a better than realistic. It's like a theme park ride and a Christmas thing all at once. Somebody on the phone?
Karen.
Really? Is this Karen from Michigan?
Yes, it is.
You
Hello.
You could tell I was struggling, couldn't you?
Yes.
So you decided to call up and help me out.
Well, I did because you said something about a Christmas math quiz, and I have one too.
Okay. Well, my math quiz, I kind of already answered the question, but go ahead and hit us with yours.
Okay, mine is, and I'll give you a minute to think about it if you need it, but mine is, if you had 30 Christmas cows and 28 Christmas chickens,
yeah.
How many didn't?
How many didn't?
Yeah.
How many? You had 30 cows and 28 chickens. How many didn't? Am I getting the question right?
Yes. But I threw in Christmas.
Okay. Well, I don't know what is the answer.
10.
10? Or uh-huh. Ken? Did you say Ken?
Right.
Yeah. Ken, like in the Ken doll.
No, 10, like 10.
30, okay, now, is there an explanation? Or is it just...
Well, if you want me to give the joke away, I could.
Okay, I want you to give the joke away so I know why 30 and 28 equals 10.
Okay, so you have 30 cows.
Yeah.
And 28 chickens.
20, Oh, I get it now. All you had to do was slow it down. Yeah, 20, 20 of them ate.
Oh, I heard Mike laugh. It's a good one.
Yeah, you know, he's just being very generous.
No, that's a good one.
Oh,
where's my drum thing?
Yeah. I got a different one for Christmas.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, please do. I deserve it.
Ho, ho, ho. Did you hear it, Karen?
No, I didn't. Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's a ho, ho, ho and a sleigh bell. All right.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Mike's on top of it. That sounded almost to me like it was going to be one of those Shaggy Dog jokes that didn't make any sense. Like, what's the difference between a duck? This is an actual joke that people used to tell when I was a kid. What's the difference between a duck? Well, one leg is both the same. they were so stupid, they were funny. You know, that's a Shaggy Dog joke.
It is so stupid, I don't get it.
No, you don't. You can't get it. There's no way to get it. It's like Shaggy Dog jokes were kind of between World War I and World War II. People needed a little relief, and they came up with these things like, just completely so dumb that, or so crazy that you had to laugh. Like, for example, a dog walked into a telegraph office and he wanted to send a telegraph. And so he said, woof, 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 woof. And the telegraph office guy said, well, you know, you can get one more word for the same price. And the dog said, well, that'd be just ridiculous. it just, that would be ridiculous. Yeah, dogs. And two racehorses are talking. This is another Shaggy Dog story. Two racehorses are talking before a race, and one of them says to the other one, do you know, Roy, I haven't won in an awful long time, and I think my owner's thinking about cashing me in, sending me to the glue factory. You think you could just slow down one time today and let me win one for old time's sake? And the other horse turns to me and says, gee, I'd like to, Larry, but it's against my principles as a racehorse, you know, to throw a race like that. And suddenly this dog on the floor says, oh, come on, Roy, let him win one. What the heck? And two horses looked at each other and said, wow, what do you know, a talking dog. Yeah, the two horses were talking, but yeah, I got more of those if anybody's interested. The Shaggy Dog, a guy gets broken down at the side of a road, and he's out there in the country by himself, and old swayback mule comes up to the fence and says, I think it's your carburetor. And the guy looks around and he can't believe. Looks at the horse and the mule and he says, was that you? Did you talk? He says, I think it's your carburetor. So finally the guy gets his car fixed and he goes into town. He stops at the general store and there's two old guys playing checkers on top of a barrel, you know. And he says, you wouldn't believe it. The strangest thing, I broke down out in the country out here and an old swayback mule come up to the fence and told me it was my carburetor. And one of the old guys, without even looking up, he says to the guy who walked in, he says, was that an old swayback white mule? He says, yeah. He says, don't listen to him, partner. That horse don't know a thing about carburetors. I haven't told it in a long time. Hey, Karen, while I got you on the phone, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you know how to make eggnog? Do you like eggnog?
Well, it's okay, but no, I don't.
Okay.
I don't cook.
How about, here's a question for you. What ghosts visit Scrooge in the Christmas story?
There was three ghosts.
Yeah, which ghosts? What are they? There were three ghosts.
Past, present, and future.
There you go. And it was kind of interesting. The other day on Jeopardy, the guy asked a question. The question answer was Bill Murray played this Christmas character in a 1993 movie or something like that, and the lady said, Scrooge. And I remember it being Scrooged with a D, okay? And she got it. But they came back later on in the show and took away $1,600 from her because she said, they listened to the tape and she said Scrooge and not Scrooged. So, have you seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, Karen?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the name of the town? I don't mean to grill you, but who knows if I'm going to get any more callers today. So.
Well, Steve Ray's going to call you. He said he would.
Did he, huh? Well,
on your podcast, your comments, he says, I'll call you in a few minutes.
Oh, he did, huh? Where do you find that kind of stuff? On your phone?
During your comments that you usually read when your show's over with.
Oh, really? And those come up, like, during the show?
They sure do.
I've only been doing this a year, so how would I know that? You know? 35 times I've done it. And you can actually see the comments live as the show's going on. Did you ever see the Polar Express?
We have a lot of people wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Already? Can you see the Christmas decorations in the shot on Facebook? Did you see? Look at this, Karen.
Well, I can't. I'm talking to you on my phone. I can't do both.
When you go back, go look behind me at the book on the shelf. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, I'm gonna give these questions to the general listening public here, and then I'll just give you the answers rather than put you on the spot. And
would be great because I don't remember the name of the town.
Okay, Bedford Falls.
There it is. Bedford That's true. Falls.
Yeah. Can I play a Christmas song for you, Karen?
May I hang up so I can listen to it live, please?
What is it?
Well, I don't know. Anyone that you want.
Oh, no. Well, I wanted you to request one because I got one. I haven't played here so far. Hang up.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies with crisp apple strudels. Doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles. Wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. Snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes. Silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, and I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes. Silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, and I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. So that's not really a Christmas song, but it's got silver white winters, and it's got gifts that wound up with strings and all this stuff. But it doesn't qualify as a Christmas song, I don't think. My favorite things, kind of. What? We're losing power?
Channel 4.
Channel 4.
Crank it.
Up?
Crank it.
Up?
Crank it.
Down.
Crank it.
Up. It's almost all the way up, man. There you go. Did it help? Was it crackling or something?
No, it's just not coming through.
Huh. Well, you got it plugged into four. So what do we do? So, yeah, coming? Not coming. All right, well, I'm going to, huh?
They can hear you, but they can't hear the piano.
They can hear me, but they can't hear the piano. The piano's extra loud for me today for some reason. I'm hearing that really good. I got this turned way down, kind of down where, below where we usually do on the master.
Oh, that'll do it.
You think that'll do it?
Yeah.
Turn this down a touch?
Turn you down.
Turn mine down.
Crank that.
Yeah. Okay. That, now we're talking. Number four is a... Yeah. Goodness sake. I'm going to take that down for myself. Am I number one?
Yes.
No. I'm not. Number one is not taking it down. Number two is taking me down. All right, never mind. We got this. We got this under control here. All right. All right, we're back in business. All right. I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life yet. I'm gonna go take a little short break. But when I get back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the fine points of Frank Capra's fabulous It's a Wonderful Life. And I'm a big fan of the Polar Express here too, and I'm not sure everybody else is because it's animated and stuff. But anyway, shall we go take a little break and see what's going on, Mike? All right. We're once again on MadisonTalks.com. Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monks at the Monks. Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. I'm not thinking very clearly today. I don't know. I'm trying to quit caffeine, so I'm obviously not thinking as... I don't have a soda or a coffee here today, so I'm not thinking as clearly as I should. Anyway, we'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
So we started in on Frank Capra's masterpiece, Christmas masterpiece, It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed from the television show in the 60s, Donna Reed herself. Frank Capra produced and directed a lot of big-time movies back in the late 40s, early 50s. And... there was another one that was a huge, huge hit with Jimmy Stewart in it that was produced and directed by Frank Capra. Anybody remember what it was? Mm-hmm. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
No idea.
Yeah, they're very, very, you know, that was when Jimmy Stewart went, as a country boy, went to the Senate.
Ah.
You know, and the filibustered for until he couldn't even stand up any longer.
I think I might have seen that. Yeah, on TV.
A big trash barrel in the middle, and he was throwing legislation into it. It was all crap. And he was really letting them have it. And young, and he did the same kind of character as George Bailey. Do you remember any of the other characters in the? Now you haven't. Don't go to your phones. Use your brain here for a second. It was George Bailey. He was the first thing you saw in the movie. And his brother Harry broke through the ice. Remember, mm-hmm. Harry Bailey. And let's see. Do you remember his uncle's name who lost the $8,000 and put him into almost committing suicide? That was Uncle Billy. And this is a tough one. You got to be kind of a big fan of It's a Wonderful Life to know who this, the name of the young male clerk in the building and loan office when they had finished lending out all the money that they'd taken in on for their wedding. And they had $2 left, and they were all dancing around because they didn't go broke. They didn't close the office before 6 p.m. And they put and this young clerk was totaling up each dollar on the adding machine, one at a time, these dollars. And his name was Eustace. Eustace was kind of a common name for people around the turn of the last century. For guys.
That's interesting, yeah.
Country people. I've listened to an audiobook that's set in about the 1920s.
Where is that name from?
I don't know. It must be Eustace. German. Yeah. Eustace. E-U-S-T-I-S. So it's either German or Greek or something. Because anyway, that's there's a Eustace character in there, too. And what was... do you remember his future wife when she was a little girl... She came into the drugstore where he's working, which was called Mr. You're typing it in on your, yes, you are, looking up the answers. Mr. Gower was the druggist, and George Bailey had a job at the drugstore, and he worked behind the soda counter, and one day his future wife, Mary, whose last name was Hatch, Mary Hatch, and... A little blonde girl who had a big crush on George. They were, 10, 11 years old, these kids. And her name was Violet Bates. And she kind of became the girl about town with the bad reputation later on in the movie, okay? But George he fixed them both Sundays. And he asked Mary, his future wife, if she wanted coconut on her sundae that he made for her. And she said no, she didn't like coconut. So he put it on anyway. Don't you know where coconuts come from? And he pulled out his travel brochures and all his plans for traveling all over the world and showed her where they come. Tahiti! They come from Tahiti. So anyway... they fell in love. She fell in love with him very early on. Then, what did George Bailey say when he walked into the? Every time he walked into the drugstore, when he wasn't working, he'd clip on a cigarette lighter. A cigar lighter. It was an automatic thing on the counter that you could just hit the thing and the flame would come up, so light your cigar with. Nice. And he'd always say, he'd cross his fingers and hit the thing and say, I wish I had $1 million. And then he'd hit the flame, it would light, and he always said two words right after that. Does anybody know what he said? I wish I had $1 million. He'd hit the cigar lighter, and then he said, hot dog! All right. So that was... Yeah, you got to be watching its stuff pretty close, I guess. George, why when they got married later on, why didn't they go on their honeymoon? Do you remember? Because there was a run on the bank. Mm-hmm. And they had to stay and give their honeymoon money away to their customers. So then after he went broke, and Uncle Billy lost the money, or Mr. Potter hid the money from them, basically. By the way, who else thinks maybe that Mr. Potter, who was played by Lionel Barrymore in the movie, okay? Now, this is a stretch, but I'm pretty good with faces, okay? And the images that movies create. I think George Lucas was thinking of Mr. Potter when he designed Jabba the Hutt. No, because he had that same kind of downturned mouth and a huge, heavy body like this. You know, Jabba the Hutt, Lionel Barrymore, check them out. Go on your phone or your computer and get a photo of each one of those guys up on right now and see if they don't look alike. Anyway, Lionel Barrymore hid the money. And then all that trouble, he was going to commit suicide, and he was going to jump off the bridge. And then Clarence gets in the picture. All right, who's on the phone?
Mitch.
Mitch Hank, where?
Hey, Brian Beebe, how's it going?
What about the Lionel Barrymore, Mr. Potter, Jabba the Hutt connection? Do you see that at all?
Well, Mr. Potter, you just sit here like a scurvy little spider.
Yeah, you're nothing but a scurvy little.
Do you know why the box office was low on the movie? I mean, there's been a lot of speculation over the years. It was after the war, too heavy. Oh no, they did a
black and white
extensive study on it. No, the reason the box office was low, do you know why?
No, I'd like to know.
Because Mr. Potter didn't get caught.
Really?
Because in those days, if you're guilty, you had to be caught. You had to pay the price. And even in movies today, we want the bad guys to get caught. And this is 70 years later. They didn't allow him to get caught, and that bothered audiences.
Really? Where did you read that? Because, you know, he was kind of put in his place when he called the bank examiner. You know, remember?
Well, he was, but he didn't have to go. He didn't go to jail. In those days, Americans wanted
resolution,
justice.
Yeah.
They wanted justice to be done.
Huh. Well, he did, swearing out a warrant for your arrest, and he tried to get him in trouble, but he ran home, and the big celebration was in spite of Potter. You know, the big celebration.
I understand all
and
that.
All the
and
town,
wonderful.
All
you,
the
you
town,
and I, you and I were happy with it, but I'm saying that's what they found.
They did
their
some
research
on it, huh?
And you know, also the great line in the cabin, not the cabin, but the way station there when he's warming up and the angel is with him drinking coffee and he freaked out the way station attendant because he left.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a little worried about you, buddy. Do you have any money?
Yeah.
Said, oh, you don't need money in heaven. And he goes, well, it comes in pretty dandy down here, bub.
Yeah. You don't happen to have $8,000 in your pocket, do you?
Yeah, right.
And the guy says,
anyway,
where are you from, by the way? He says, heaven. And that's when the old guy, the bridge tender, he couldn't take it any longer. He ran out. He looked a bit like, he looked a little bit like Mr. Green Jeans. That guy who was tending
bit.
The bridge.
I love Clarence.
Yeah. Clarence Oddbody. I'm talking about the bridge tender guy, the tall, skinny.
Oh,
kid.
He looked like Mr. Green.
Yeah,
go ahead. I don't want to take too much of your time. But
no,
I wanted to offer that.
Look at my face. I love reminiscing about this movie, you know?
Yeah, it's a wonderful movie. It's a wonderful life. I've watched it like 20 times.
How about Mr. Smith? Did you get anything out of that?
Well, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I've seen that maybe once.
Yeah.
I like Frank Capra movies.
Yeah,
though. They're kind of
they're homey. You know, they're very
Shangri-La.
Yeah.
I think it happened one night too, right, with Clark Gable?
Yeah, I think so.
The time he killed somebody in real life when he was drunk and they covered it up, yeah.
That was a Frank Capra, huh?
Well, that movie, I believe, was. Oh. I think it was. And they had the woman stick her leg out and the car stopped. Remember that? 1935,
yeah.
Pretty risky, risque stuff, yeah.
Well, Mitch, you got a heck of a memory. Do you remember your absolutely worst office party, Christmas party, or worst Christmas party?
Oh, yeah. In Green Bay, my then wife and I would start fighting because we'd have a couple of drinks, and then she had this habit of flirting with all these people.
Okay.
And then, you know, when I was a little bit buzzed, I didn't like to see her just flirting with, like, five or six guys.
Right.
So I would just walk out. I didn't want to deal with it. So.
But you don't remember a particularly terrible one where you punched somebody or somebody punched you or punched her or anything like that?
Well, that was a case where I just walked out after about 30 minutes. Yeah. But I didn't punch anybody at my own party because I would have been fired.
Oh,
I have punched people in bars during that period where she would be talking to them, and
you have,
and I would get mad. And one time, the owner of Babes, the bar I went to for years, he sat me down on the bench. Lynn Hager said, "Mitch, why don't you have a seat right now?" And he sat me down and cooled me down. He cooled me off.
Yeah.
He put me in the penalty box.
You still go to Babes, don't you? You like Babes?
Oh, sure. Yeah, but that was when I was still married, and she was there, and guys were hitting on her, and you know, that was always a point of tension.
Yeah.
But, you know, doesn't happen anymore because we're not married for 20 years.
Yep. Well,
he's got a husband. I don't care if she flirts with her husband. He's been married to her for 20 years. You know. I assume they've consummated the marriage right now.
I'll bet you anything she doesn't flirt with him. What do you think?
Well, that may be a good bet.
Yeah. So here's a musical, a Christmas musical question for you, man.
Yeah.
Who wrote Chestnuts Roasting?
That would be Mel Torme.
Mel Torme. It's the most famous song he ever wrote, in fact. He was a great
He wrote it in July.
He was a great recording artist, but I don't think he wrote very many songs, did he?
I don't believe so, but that's like Phil Silvers writing Nancy with the Laughing Face.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, he's a comedian. He wrote that.
Oh, sure.
You know?
I didn't even know he played anything.
He might have just written the lyrics.
Yeah,
if he wrote the music.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Audrey Hepburn and Liz Taylor, you know that song.
Yeah, and
Phil Silvers, yeah.
Yeah, well, Red Skelton wrote the music.
For that?
No.
No.
No, but you had me. Yeah.
You had me on
Phil Silvers, for God's sakes, you know. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what is your show going to be about later on, man? Are you coming in tonight?
Well, we've got the Republicans and the Democrats going to war again
over
John Doe, and because they had hundreds of thousands of private emails and bank records, and the Republicans think the Democrats just built their little file of personal stuff so they could do research. And there's war going on there, so we'll talk to that, Michael Eggleston. And then, of course, the tax cuts.
Yeah.
Because the coverage on it is like 99% negative, except for Fox.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. And then we've got the Voices of the Bayou, four minority kids in Louisiana talking about racism in Louisiana and all this. And then, you know, Phil Dawson. You know Phil Dawson, former sports guy at WIBA?
No.
I haven't talked to Phil in a long time. We have a lot to catch up with him about.
Fun.
At the end of the show, but thanks for asking. But it's your show, buddy. So
no, but
you take care.
I'll definitely be listening. You're going to be on it right at 6 o'clock.
Well, as soon as I get my coat on and sit down.
Yeah. Okay, man.
But you're the greatest, though. People should go see Brian Beebe play at Sorrento's up in Lake Delton, Wisconsin Dells.
You should come up and see me. It's been a whole year since you were up there.
Well, I could come and do a Burl Ives impression.
Oh, that. You could, man, but you don't look a thing like him. Yeah, get the goatee. You could
silver bells.
Get a magic marker and just draw that on.
He was a communist back in the day. Apparently,
he was.
Burl Ives.
Yeah, I knew he was a lefty.
Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger. You know, Pete Seeger, of course.
This land is your land, man. That guy, they thought he was a commie too, right?
He was too, but that's okay. You know, what else are you going to be in those days?
Well,
you're a singer, you're creative, you're artist. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's part of the deal.
Somebody knows you, or somebody sees you on stage, and they invite you to a meeting, right?
Property is theft. Great. Walk in, Karl Marx. You know, that's probably Woody Guthrie, probably had that poster on his
property door. Is theft.
Walk in.
Walk in.
Yeah. Of course, I had that poster, and I kept having all these homeless people come in and steal all my stuff. But
I like it. You know. Thanks for calling,
anyway,
man.
Hey, you have a great night. Merry Christmas.
You too, man.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about, I had some more stuff about what was the name of Clarence's book that dried out after they jumped in the river, jumped off the bridge, remember?
Jeepers.
Oh, my God. It was Mark Twain. It was Tom Sawyer.
Huh.
Yeah, because he said that Mark Twain's actually writing another great new book right now. The joke was on Clarence because he didn't realize that hundreds of years had passed or whatever. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about Christmas in Florida and my years down there. We're going to take a call here. All right.
Yeah, well, Stevie Ray.
Is Stevie Ray on the phone?
Stevie Ray's on the phone. I wanted to wait until this was done. I was fascinated with what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't want to interrupt that.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I'm not going to do it.
Go all day without that one.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Maggie May show last week?
Yeah.
Last Sunday?
Yeah, thank you. There is another broadcast on RFD coming up tomorrow of this concert that we've done.
Well, I thought it was Christmas Eve. You said 5 o'clock Christmas Eve.
Yeah. There's two different shows.
Oh, okay.
Two different shows coming up that she and I are on.
RFD TV.
Yeah. Well, anyway, harkening back to one of my favorite Christmas movies, also Wonderful Life. You want me to lasso you the moon, Mary?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And what was the song that she played for him on the 78s there when he came over to her house?
Oh, and Dance by the Light of Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo
Girls,
Gals. Won't you come out tonight? Buffalo Gals. He wasn't in the mood, though, but she sang right up to him. Buffalo Gals, won't you? And Dance by the Light of the Moon. And he wasn't hearing it because he'd lost $8,000 that day.
Yeah.
And that was like $800,000 now. So, but anyway.
That was, I think, yeah.
So.
Getting back to what was mentioned about the Mr. Potter not having been caught. There was, in the movie Guild or something like that, there was a code of ethics in which when you wrote a movie, it was supposed to have been that the bad guys got caught. And it's like always at the end, you know, the bad guys got caught and did their time, and that was the end of it. And this movie did not adhere to that.
Do you think it
was written code or unwritten, I don't know.
Do you think it was partly because Lionel Barrymore was such a big star?
It could have. Well, I don't know.
He was a really big star in the untalkies, you know, before the... In the silent movies and early in the silent talkies, too.
And it makes you wonder if that movie had been done today, if there would have been a It's a Wonderful Life 2, in which Mr. Potter was caught. He was doing his time, and he got back at George Bailey, and there was some ninja warriors in there and whatever. So.
Hey, Stevie, generally in life since then, I have heard the word Potter's Field used for any kind of a scrub, wasted piece of land. Have you ever heard that? People calling just any kind of a barren or wasted, broken down piece of land called a Potter's Field. And I think it's a kind of a common term and that probably didn't come from the movie, but maybe it did. So anyway, here's a question for you, man. What does RFD stand for?
I wanted to say Rural Fire Department, but that isn't right.
No.
Rural something, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it farm delivery? Rural.
Because it's out in the country.
Yeah, it's your fire number, but I think it's not fire district or fire department. It's rural.
I'll have to look it up, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to while I'm talking.
Because
I'm in my music room / office. It'd be really easy for me to do, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Well, no, I'm
not. I'll let our listeners look that up, because I think that's a good one. And I probably will later, too.
Yeah, because you're on that show, man. You're on that network.
Oh, yeah. RFD TV, yeah. They've been very good to us, Maggie, and subsequently me, too. Oh, as long as we're doing a shameless self-promotion, you mind?
Go right ahead.
Merry Christmas, you're whatever.
Yeah.
No, I've got a new Toma gig.
What?
That I'm very excited about. I've had it on Facebook. I'm doing a solo thing at a place called the District 5 Bar on Thursday evenings at 6:00. Very much inspired by what you're doing at Sorrento's.
District 5 is, what did it used to be?
Well, see, District 5, there was a District 5 State Patrol headquarters here in Toma, but it's since closed because they consolidated a lot of the different district headquarters offices. I think now that we have emails and the electronic stuff, that they're more going toward centralizing it in Madison. So District 5 is named after that. And the bar itself is right downtown. It used to be the Sportsman's Bar.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And a lot of folks in Toma know what that is I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ones that I think Toma was right up there with La Crosse in numbers of bars on one street, I swear to it. This is one of the ones that's been around for years. There's a little alcove in the front with windows around it, three sides. And that's the area that I'm playing in up front. That's kind of my little stage. And it's a really nice place. I'll post some pictures. I'm going to go over there tonight and take some pictures of the place. So anyway, that's what's going on. And, of course, you and I are working together again. Thank you.
We are?
I heard something about New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Did you change your mind?
I knew that. I knew that. Hey, Steve, just out of curiosity, man. Do you like the movie The Polar Express?
I haven't really seen it all the way
through.
Oh, you
haven't? Okay.
Honest with you.
Do you think people aren't giving it a chance because it's an animated movie?
Things that would sell it to me is Tom Hanks is in it. Or lends his voice to it. I would love to watch it. I'm sure that when the grandkids come over, I probably will.
He plays several characters in the movie, in fact.
Yeah. With the Christmas movies, my house is inundated with the Hallmark Christmas movies, the Christmas chick flicks. That's what my wife Carrie puts on as soon as she walks in the door.
Yeah.
One of the two, Charter Channel 71 or 78 here in Toma, one of the two is
Christmas Romance, yes. It's hard to be single on Christmas, isn't it? Especially when you got all those movies in your face on every channel, you know. And I scout them out. I mean, when I'm sitting down to watch TV, I don't watch regular shows, and this time of year I go through my menu just to find looking for Frosty and Rudolph and Charlie Brown.
I was doing that too.
Yeah, Charlie Brown. I want the old ones though. I don't want they make new ones, and there's always a new movie, you know. Christmas with the Cranks.
This little short story for you. When Maggie and I went to do this taping of this veterans / Christmas special in Ohio,
okay,
not too far from Cincinnati,
right.
there were a couple of bluegrass bands that were on opposite us, and we were going through a little number or something like that, and the bass player from the one band said, "That was terrible. Why weren't you at Elf practice?" And that joke just stuck with us.
Elf practice.
Yeah, well, going back to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, okay.
Kermit, and the whole bit. I want to be a dentist and all that whole thing. So we ran with that. And now you can't, if you mention anything about elf practice, I'll just start laughing.
I was afraid that you were going to be talking about Elf, and I'm afraid that I don't think any movie that Will Ferrell has ever made is funny. And people tell me, yeah, what about Elf? It's so funny.
And what about it?
None of them are funny, man. He was funny on Saturday Night Live when he did the bald piano player sitting down and they did cheer. She was like a cheerleader coach or something, and they were doing these really slow moving. Really very white Christmas songs. Yeah, community center music. Good. And a couple of the things he did on Saturday Night Live were kind of funny, but I haven't seen any movies that I liked to hear. Stevie, we're gonna get here to our last break, and then I got to come back with some low dough gift ideas.
Okay, I got one more suggestion as far as Christmas movies that you may not think of as a Christmas movie, but it is around that area. Trading Places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
set during that time of the year,
yes.
And then you have New Year's, and then, you know.
And Dan Aykroyd gets completely ruined and becomes the drunk Santa with a
really
dirty beard, and that
has been one of my favorite movies just in general.
It's a funny movie.
It is. Okay, so with that, I appreciate you taking my call, and as always, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
All right, man, sure will. Stevie Ray Nelson. Playing Thursday nights in Toma and New Year's Eve with me up in the Dells at Sorrento's. Anyway, we're going to come back for just a quick final thoughts, like Mitch Hanks says. Come back for a few final thoughts. Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monks and Sorrento's at the Wilderness, MadisonTalks.com, live on Facebook. We'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Brian Beebe here. I got to tell you one quick Florida Christmas in Florida story that I'll never forget. You know, in Florida, it's so nice that everybody puts out a lot of lights. Whole neighborhoods will get together and decorate a whole street, you know, just over the top. And this one kind of wealthy area in St. Petersburg, just where we first moved, when we first moved to Florida, had this nice section of town. And an old man and old woman got on top of their front porch, dressed up as Santa and Mrs. Santa in their rocking chairs with a tree and everything, you know, and a couple of years, 3 or 4 years in a row, but word got out and huge long lines of traffic kept creeping by this house to see it, bring their kids, and it just made traffic a nightmare for this nice neighborhood in town, right? And the last time I ever went by it, and I was guilty of going by it too much too because I had little kids. Next door to this, here's the house with the Mr. and Mrs. Santa on the roof. And next door to it was a house that was completely dark, like they had moved to Jamaica for the holidays, you know, because of the traffic and the snarls, you know. And they had one Christmas decoration in their window. In their front window, they had it made, obviously, a neon sign that said North Pole and pointed to the house next door. That was their whole decoration. I thought it was really cute.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, we're going to, you can take me out anyway. I'm just going to give you some ideas, because I know that people don't have a lot of money, and geez, you're under a lot of pressure to spend a lot of money this time of year. And you maybe have thought of these things, but here's some low dough and free gift ideas that you can do for a neighbor or a friend or a family member, something how to, and they would love it just as much as if you went out and bought some piece of crap electronic thing from Korea or whatever, you know what I mean? Offer to shovel some snow, maybe all winter, depending on how much this person means to you. Offer to babysit, walk their dogs. Offer, I would give them a written certificate that says this is good for six lawn mowing things this summer, you know. I'll mow the lawn, clean the house. Here's one I thought of. Wouldn't it be something to, if somebody said to you, hey, listen, I want to help you out. For Christmas, I want to give you something you really like, and I know you really would like this. I got all these pads, you know, you can get sticky notes and pads, like piles, different color sticky notes like this. And I'm going to go through your basement and look in every box that's on every shelf and put a sticky note on it, what's in there.
That's a big one, yeah.
So your basement or your garage. And so you can go down there, and without having to pull the boxes out, you know what's in it, you know. And you can decide to keep it or throw it out. It's almost like a great first step to cleaning your basement or cleaning your garage out. Somebody, like, if you went through their garage or their basement and just looked in the boxes and ignored the porn, you know what I mean, and cigarettes and whatever they're hiding down there, vodka, and just put a sticker on there that says what's in the box. I thought that would be kind of a neat thing to do for somebody. Anyway, I hope you'll all have a very, very, very special, meaningful Christmas this year and a wonderful New Year's Eve. I don't know if we're going to be here the Wednesday after. We will be here the Wednesday after Christmas. So anyway, well, we won't be. Okay. The next week. The first weekend, Wednesday in January, we'll be here.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year. Brian Beebe.